You know, I was thinking about this morning as I was getting ready. I was thinking about there are certain things that we hear and we see, and it's like you immediately know where it's from, right? There's certain jingles or certain slogans that companies have used, and everyone knows them. We could sing the first line and you could finish it, right? And there's those little things that companies have done over the years, and you're like the little grandma, where's the beef? You know, everybody knows that commercial, right? And we got the, give me a break. Oh yeah, good. Oh, y'all are catching on. There was one that I thought about, and I asked Chelsea if she remembered it. She didn't, but there's a commercial sets up, and there's a glass of water, and they even play it on the radio, and it's plop, plop, fizz, fizz. See? They knew. And then we got ba-da-ba-ba-ba. One person knew that one. You got to be kidding me. McDonald's, and then we got like a good neighbor. See, and just as famous as the jingles, there were some slogans that become synonymous with different companies, like Just Do It with Nike and Breakfast of Champions with Wheaties and Have It Your Way at Burger King and Eat Fresh, Subway, and my favorite, Finger Licking Good, right? And then you got Red Bull Gives You Wings. You know, the reason that we all know these or remember these is because they've been put on TV, radio, and billboard for years. Nike ran the Just Do It campaign for 26 years. Wheaties ran the Breakfast of Champions campaign for 87 years. And Alka-Seltzer, Plop Plop, Fizz Fizz, that ran for 43 years. We heard these jingles and slogans over and over again for years, and they stuck. In advertisement, there's this phenomenon known as the effective frequency, which refers to the number of times you have to hear a message before you respond. The rule of thumb was 7. They said that you had to hear something or see something 7 times before you respond. But for at this point in time, the number is much higher because we have so many things vying for our attention. So you could see something 7 times and never actually see it. You could hear something 7 times and never actually hear it. Because there's too much going on vying for our attention. And when it comes to hearing God's voice, there's an effective frequency that we all have. Everyone in this room has an effective frequency. Everyone in this room has a spot or a point where you can hear from God, where when God speaks to you, that you hear it. You have an effective frequency, period, that when people are talking to you, certain tones you hear and certain tones you don't. There are people that if you talk to them real soft and like a whisper, they're going to hear you. But if you get loud and talk to them, they're not going to hear you. They're going to shut you down. It's the effective frequency. But when it comes to God's voice and that effective frequency that He speaks, we have that, and it's learning to discern God's promptings, and it doesn't happen overnight always. It takes practice. It's like learning a new language. You don't always pick up on all the nuances at first, but after time, you start picking up on the gentle whisper God is putting out. He is a patient God too. It's not 3 strikes and you're out. Praise the Lord. Right? It's the way of finding He has a way of finding our effective frequency with us. He already knows it, but He has a way of getting us to really hear it. Right? All right. Some of you are here, some of you are not. It's okay. Throughout Scripture, though, I see, guys, that it seems that God had to repeat Himself over and over again before they get it. I see guys He speaks to audibly, and some that He speaks through dreams and visions, some that needed fires, donkeys, and roosters, and some even needed a whale. But all of these guys had an effective frequency. For Samuel, 4 late-night visits was his frequency before he heard from God, before he got the memo that, hey, That's God speaking, right? For Peter, it was the rooster crowing. For Jonah, he had to spend 2.5 days in the belly of a whale before he got it. For Moses, it was the burning bush. For Saul, it was more than one thing. It was an audible voice. It was a vision. It was a miraculous healing. It was full surround sound, so to speak, before he truly tuned in to what God had to say for him. What is your effective frequency today? And is it tuned to God? If you have your Bibles, you would turn me to Acts chapter 9. That's where we're going to be today. Acts chapter 9. And we're going to begin in verse 1. It says, "Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest and he requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. As he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' 'Who are you, Lord?' Saul asked. And the voice replied, 'I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.' The men with Saul stood speechless, for they heard the sound of someone's voice, but saw no one. And Saul picked himself up off the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he was blind. So his companions led him by the hand to Damascus. He remained there blind for 3 days and did not eat or drink. Now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling, 'Ananias?' 'Yes, Lord,' he replied. The Lord said, 'Go over to Straight Street to the house of Judas, and when you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying to me right now, and I have shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so that he can see again.'" Now, I don't know how many Ananiases were in town, but this is kind of putting him on the hook right here, right? "But Lord," he explained, "I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem. He is authorized by the leading priests to arrest anyone who calls upon your name. But the Lord said, 'Go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to the kings as well as to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake.' So Ananias went and found Saul, and he laid his hands on him and said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' And instantly something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight. And then he got up and was baptized. After he ate some food and regained his strength, and Saul stayed with the believers in Damascus for a few days, and immediately he began preaching about Jesus in the synagogue, saying, 'He is indeed the Son of God.'" When I read this story about Saul, or Spall, we see this story of him going through and the ways that God speaks to him. God doesn't just speak to him one way, and I think that he's probably like many of us. Saul was like, definitely like many of us, where God spoke to him and he probably was like, yeah, okay. And so he said, okay, well, that didn't work, so we're going to do a little bit more, and we're going to do a little bit more, and I'm going to keep pushing, I'm going to keep twisting until you hear what I got to say to you. Because this isn't it. Just what's going on here is not just, this is not just something that happens, Saul. This is something, this is me speaking to you, and I'm about to change your life forever. Verse 3 and 4, it says, as he was approaching Damascus on his mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" This mysterious bright light shined down on him. And it was so bright that he fell off his donkey. And then he hears this voice calling him by name. I mean, that would get my attention, right? If you heard an audible voice calling your name, you're going to, who said that? All right, I guess y'all are still asleep this morning. I mean, that would get my attention. He got knocked on the ground. And God wanted to make sure, he wanted to make sure that Saul not only heard his voice, but listened to his voice. So he gives him some instructions. It wasn't just that he shined the bright light, Paul fell down, and then he begins to speak to him. He gave him some instructions. And I really truly believe that the reason that God gave him such simple instructions was he just said, I want to know if you're going to do what I ask you to do. I don't know. I want to know if I've gotten your attention. So he says, now go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do next. Just go. I'm not giving you any more instructions. I'm not giving you any more information. Just go into the city. Oh, by the way, you're blind. Go into the city. It's simple instructions. Wait for further instructions. Some of us would fumble these instructions because we don't like to wait. Like when Jesus told the apostles and all the people, his followers, the 120 that were in the upper room, wait in Jerusalem until the power is on high comes on you. Wait on the promise from the Father. They would have been like, some of y'all would have been like, after one day, I'm going home. I'm going fishing. I'm going to do something else. I'm not staying here anymore. They stayed there for 10 days praying, waiting before anything happened. Effective frequency wasn't complete with Paul. So he got up, was blind, and had to be led into the city. God was making sure, he was making sure that Paul heard what he had to say. He was making sure that he heard him, and he listened, and took to heart what he was saying. The frequency was to hit on every aspect. Verse 8 says, Saul picked himself up off the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he was blind. So his companions led him by the hand to Damascus, and he remained there blind for 3 days and did not eat or drink. For 3 days, he sat there in darkness. He didn't eat, he didn't drink, he was fasting. God was preparing him for his future without him even knowing. Saul had been knocked down. He'd seen a vision and heard a voice. He'd been given instructions and is blind. The guy's frequency is getting more in tune. He's almost got the channel clear. There's still a little bit of static. Meanwhile, across town, Ananias is minding his own business, and God begins to speak to him. Verse 10 says, now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling him, Ananias? Yes, he replied. The Lord said, go over to Straight Street to the house of Judas, and when you get there, ask for Saul, man from Tarsus. He's praying to me right now, and I've already shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming and laying hands on him so that he can see again. Again, I don't know how many Ananiases were in town, but it's putting you on the hook here because he already talked to Paul. He already talked to him, and he said a guy named Ananias. So if a guy named Jack comes, it ain't the guy. It's got to be a man named Ananias, right? And he's like, I don't know if you know this, Lord. I don't know if you've heard the news, but word on the street is this guy has really done some damage in Jerusalem, and he came with warrants. He has warrants for our arrest. He's going to put us in chains and tote us back to Jerusalem. I don't know if you heard this. He sees this vision, and the Lord is speaking to him audibly, and he's saying, God's already told him, look, I already gave Saul a vision that a man named Ananias is coming to pray for him, and you're the only Ananias in town, so it's up to you, buddy. And he protests, and he's like, I don't want to do this. But if you say so, if you tell me to do it, I guess I will. And he goes. It says in verse 17, so Ananias went and found Saul, and he laid his hands on him, and he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And instantly something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight, and then he got up and was baptized. I love it when a plan comes together, right? God finally got everything. He got everything. Everything in the frequency is good. There's no more static. Saul is hearing. The scales fall off. And it wasn't, in my mind, when I think about the scales falling off, God put these scales on his eyes, right? And why didn't he just put one scale? But it says scales. And so I started thinking about that. It wasn't just his physical sight that was open that day. It was his spiritual sight as well. It was in that moment that Saul says, okay, everything that they've been saying about the way is the way. And he began to see and replay the things that have happened to him in the last 3 days of the blinding light and falling off his donkey and the audible voice and the Lord speaking to him in a vision and telling him that Ananias was going to come and pray for him. And all those things began to roll through his mind. And now this miraculous healing takes place. And the scales fall off and he can see. Verse 19 says, afterwards he ate some food, regained his strength. But verse 20 says, and immediately he began preaching about Jesus in the synagogues, saying he is indeed the Son of God. Immediately he began preaching. God got him on the frequency that he wanted him to be on. He got him where he needed him to be. And then he said, okay, now that you're there, this is what I'm going to have you do. And now that he's on the frequency, it says immediately. He didn't wait. He didn't wait around for something else to happen. Immediately he began to do what he was called to do, what Jesus was asking him to do. And it says in verse 22 that Saul's preaching became more and more powerful, and the Jews in Damascus couldn't refute his proofs that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. They couldn't refute it. They couldn't change it. They saw the guy. He was blind. He had to be led into town, and now he can see, and he's walking around. They couldn't refute that. They couldn't refute that this guy had came to arrest people that were of the way, to take them back to Jerusalem, and now he is part of the way. They couldn't refute that. I was thinking about it and about this and just the way that they couldn't refute what they actually saw or experienced. And I was thinking about a story that I heard recently about a psychology class. And they go into this psychology class, and the professor, his main job, his main purpose in this philosophy psychology class was to prove that God wasn't real. And so he goes around the room at the beginning of the class and he begins to ask students if they believed in God. And then if they said yes, then he would immediately begin to argue of whether or not God was real. And he had this argument. He's been teaching. He's been a professor for years. So he has this argument down pat. He's been arguing this same way for years. And a lot of these college students, freshmen in college, they couldn't argue with him. The guy that was telling the story was saying that he watched and he said, I was one of the last ones in the room. I knew he was coming to me. And he said, I was one of the last ones in the room. And he said, the whole time I was just thinking, what am I going to say? What am I going to say to him? What am I going to say? I can't argue with him. There is no way that I'm going to prove with an argument what I believe to be real. And he said, so I just started praying that the Holy Spirit would give me the words. And he said, he got to him and he said, what about you? And he said, yeah, I believe in God. And I believe that he's real. And he said, but before you start arguing with me, he said, I can't win this argument. You've practiced this argument for 20 years. You have this argument down pat. But what you can't do is you can't tell me what I've experienced wasn't real. You can't tell me that what I've experienced wasn't real. He said, 6 weeks ago, I was preaching a revival and a lady that had come in and had been in a bad car accident was in a wheelchair, and we prayed for her, and she got up out of that wheelchair and walked out. And people got saved for three nights following because they saw this lady who they knew was in a wheelchair and never walk again, walking around town. You can argue all you want about whether God's real or not, but you can't refute my experience. They couldn't refute what Paul's experience was. It wasn't that they could argue whether or not he was right or wrong, but they couldn't refute the evidence. The evidence of the evidence was that he was blind and now he can see. The evidence was that he came there to arrest people of the way, and now he believed in the way. They couldn't refute the evidence. The evidence was there. The evidence said Jesus is indeed the Messiah. Not because Paul said it, but because the evidence showed it. The evidence is in your life. The evidence is in your life. And you may be the frequency that someone needs to hear from. It may be your story. It may be what God has done in your life that changes someone's trajectory. We have to have the willingness. It says that immediately he got up and began to share. Immediately he began preaching. Immediately. You know the one thing that we as believers are supposed to do? Share the gospel. Preach the word. It doesn't mean that you got to get up and preach a sermon. It means that you live the life and you share your story with others. And you tell them that the reason that you are the way that you are is not because of something that happened over here. It's because of something that happened in you from God. They couldn't deny the change that took place in Paul's life. There has to be something to it. The same God, though, that changed Saul to Paul is still in the business of changing lives today. He's still in the business. Saul's effective frequency took more than knocking him off of his horse. God spoke in an audible voice from heaven. Then he spoke through a double vision. Saul had a vision of about a man named Ananias, while Ananias had a vision about a man named Saul. And then God spoke to Ananias with detailed instructions of where Saul was and what to say to him. And then the final piece of the puzzle was that he spoke to Saul by miraculous healing. That's God speaking in surround sound. To make quadruply sure that Saul heard his voice. And not only heard it, but he listened. What if Ananias, though, what if he would have said no? What if he had played the record of all the, I'll do anything but this, God? What if he never goes and prays for Saul? What if he just refuses? At this point, Ananias knew Saul as the one carrying out orders to imprison Christians, ones of the way. This is what he knew. He shared this with God, but God said, go. His effective frequency was dialed in. His effective frequency was dialed in. He heard. He heard from God. He knew. He knew. He knew. What if he would have said no, though? What if he would have said no? God is never late. Listen to me right now. God is never late. But there are times that it is in my life that it has felt like he was late. Not because he was late, but because how many people did he have to ask before one said yes? The effective frequency doesn't just have to do with what God wants you to do in your life forever. The effective frequency was what he wants you to do today, and what he wants you to say to that person, and what he wants you to do right now. The fact of the matter is that God speaks all the time. It's whether or not we're listening, and whether or not our effective frequency is tuned in, or are we just playing static or the latest hits on the radio. Everyone in this room has an effective frequency, a way in which you hear and learn best. And I assure you that God knows your effective frequency. He knows what makes you tick. My question to you is, are you listening when he speaks, or are you ignoring his voice? Where are you at? I'm going to ask everyone that would to stand to your feet this morning. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for speaking, Lord. I thank you for speaking to hard-headed people like me, Lord, in more than one way. Lord, I thank you for getting my attention when I need my attention gotten. Lord, I thank you for this story of Paul, because it shows that you do care about every aspect of their life, and that you do care about the fact that they hear what you have to say. And Lord, I just pray that this morning that you help us to get in the same frequency with you, God. That you help us to get an effective frequency with you. Lord, that we begin to hear from you in a real way. And Lord, that when you begin to speak, and when you begin to speak, Lord, I pray that you help us to hear it. And not only hear it, but listen to it. What you have to say, God. Thank you. I don't know what you're going through this morning. I don't know what you're dealing with, but I just have a feeling that there's some people in this room that you need to hear from God today. That you got a situation or a circumstance and you need God to move in. That you need to hear from God in this situation. I want to invite you to come right now. I want to believe with you. I want to believe that God moves and God touches and God changes your life this morning. So I want to invite you to come. You won't be the first. You won't be the first. What do you need God to do in your life this morning? What do you need God to do in your life? What needs to happen? What do you need to get in the frequency to hear what God would have you to do in? If you need God to move, I encourage you to move right now. If you need God to move in your life, I encourage you to move right now. Maybe you're here, though, and you say, you know what? I want to make sure that I don't have static in my frequency with God. I want to make sure that I hear him clearly when he speaks. I've been doing what he's been asking me to do, but I want to make sure that I hear him clearly without static. I want to invite you to come. Our effective frequency, God knows. But sometimes we got to turn the dial just a hair on our end. You say, I'm there. I need to turn the dial a little bit so I can hear clearly. I want to invite you to come. Lord, I just thank you right now. I thank you for the ones that responded and the ones that are still at their seats. And Lord, I just pray right now that you begin to move and you begin to touch. Lord, I pray that you begin to heal and deliver right now, even now while they're sitting in their seats. Lord, if there are no more that need to be at this altar, I pray that you encourage them to move, Lord. If you feel led to come and pray around this altar, feel free to do so. If you feel led to come and pray for the ones that are here, feel free to do so.